The Gospel is written from the book of Micah, chapter 5, beginning to read at the second verse. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. And then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. The birth of Jesus foretold. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6 months. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you inspired the writing of these scriptures through the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the same Holy Spirit would move in our hearts and in our minds right now to inspire and teach us the things that you want us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everybody. It's the final Sunday in Advent. And as Will's already mentioned with the lighting of the candle, we're going to be thinking about the role that Mary, the mother of Jesus, has played, not just in the Christmas story, but in the history of salvation. And Advent is thinking not just of the coming of Jesus, but the second coming of Jesus at the end of time. I've been given the title this morning of A Teenage Christmas for reasons that will perhaps become obvious in a minute. And to do that, we're going to focus on the most critical moment in the history of mankind, the launch of God's rescue plan. And the key person in this operation, a not yet married teenage girl. So the big question this morning is, why did God choose a teenager for this unbelievably important role? Who was this teenager? Well, as we know, her name was Mary. She was a peasant girl from Nazareth, which was a rural village in northern Israel. She was betrothed to be married to a carpenter called Joseph, and betrothal was a kind of engagement, but more than engagement. It was an official arrangement between the two families, and it was more permanent than engagement in our culture today. They weren't yet married, and so they weren't living together, and according to their culture, it would be assumed that she was a virgin. We don't actually know that she was a teenager. The Bible doesn't say that, but it was highly likely, according to the culture of that time, that she was around 14 to 17 years old. So why did God choose a teenager, and why specifically did he choose Mary? Before we try to answer that, we need to try and see things not from a human perspective, but from God's. Throughout the Bible, there's evidence that unlike many human situations that we face here on earth, things that God's in charge of don't just happen in a random way, but according to a carefully worked out plan. There's also evidence of what I call the Council of Heaven, consisting of at least the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and even at times angels, and that they have had a plan for the salvation of all people everywhere since before the creation began. So as we think about the Christmas story, we need to realize that this had been meticulously planned in heaven for hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands of years. Prophecies like the one read to us from Micah, specifically relating to the Messiah, were spoken out over 700 years before Jesus arrived. Various other Old Testament passages give us a lot of detail of what God was planning to do and even where the Messiah was going to be born. Be assured, God is organized. Ephesians 1:11 says, "In him," that's in Jesus, "we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." So if all of this has been meticulously planned, why would God take the risk of entrusting his eternal plan for salvation into the hands of any human being, for that matter, let alone a teenager from an obscure rural community? Actually, it's probably easier to think of good reasons why he shouldn't choose a teenager. Because after all, if God's plan involved the Messiah coming to earth by being born in human form to a human mother, that in itself was a massive risk. Can you imagine the shock in heaven when God finally announced the plans and instructed Gabriel to go to Nazareth with a message for Mary? What did Gabriel think? Did he dare to say something like, "You can't be serious. Are you sure you've got this right? How can you possibly trust a human being with the savior of the world as a new baby, a born baby? Childbirth is risky at the best of times. In those days, there would have been a high rate of infant mortality, probably 1 in 10 or even worse. A newborn baby is very small and very vulnerable. What if his parents messed up and the Messiah died in infancy? Could a teenager really be relied on to look after and raise a child on whose shoulders rests the whole of human history and destiny? But God did choose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. He did risk asking a teenager to take on this task. And that should be a massive encouragement to us, to all of us. God has a much higher view of what humans are capable of doing than we can ever imagine. God knew that he could trust them. If you stop to think about it, much of what God asks us to do, even simple things like forgiving others or loving those we don't like or telling the truth or giving our hard-earned money, it may seem difficult to us, inconvenient or even risky. But think of it another way. If God has decided to ask us to something that he has thought, asking us to do something, and he has thought it through, and the council of heaven have decided it needs to be done, then we're acting out of obedience to what God is telling us to do. Who are we to question or challenge the wisdom of God? As Jesus said, with God, nothing is impossible. So God was willing to entrust his eternal plans into the arms of a young couple from Nazareth. And based on his plans and purposes that were fully backed by the resources of heaven. Okay, why Mary and Joseph? Could there be a more specific reason? When God decided the time had come for his rescue plan to be launched, he needed someone who would accept the challenge of becoming the mother of his son. What might he have been looking for? Well, Jesus would need both a mother and a father. And he was to be born to a virgin and to be born in Bethlehem. So God needed to find an engaged couple who had not yet slept together, but who would stick together and become caring parents. And more importantly, he needed people who were open to what God was asking them to do, willing to do what God told them to do, realistic, not blind to the risks and the potential cost of accepting his requests, courageous enough to go through with it despite having little idea of what it really would mean and would ultimately entail, and finally humble enough to accept the challenge. And Mary's reply said it all. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So why did God choose Mary and Joseph? In one word, trust. God found two people who were willing to trust in the word, the character, and the purpose of God and act on it. Just one final question. If the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, why did God choose a couple from Nazareth? That was about 80 miles and 4 days' walk away from Bethlehem. I've often wondered, did God actually start by looking in Bethlehem? And even in the nearby city of Jerusalem and all the surrounding villages, to see if there was someone willing to cooperate with his plans. Were there no betrothed couples in the whole of the district of Judea willing to listen to and obey the voice of God? I wonder how many potential couples did God look at until eventually he noticed Mary and Joseph 80 miles away in Nazareth. Could it be that God chose Joseph and Mary to be the earthly parents of Jesus simply because of their willingness to trust and to obey what he was asking them to do? The fact that Mary may have been a teenager may not have any relevance to this, and it certainly wasn't a hindrance. So what can we learn from this? God has a rescue plan for all of mankind and worked out since the dawn of time and brought to fulfillment in Jesus. That plan has depended throughout on the willingness of ordinary people to hear, trust, and obey what he was asking them to do. The focus at Christmas is on the coming of the Savior, thanks to the willingness of Joseph and Mary to cooperate with God's plan. And we're talking about this today, some 2,000 years later, because people have been consistently throughout history obedient to God's instructions to tell the good news to others. And finally, God knows what he can achieve through those who are willing to cooperate with him. So actually, perhaps the big question is not why did God choose a teenager, but the big question ought to be, what might God be asking me to do? Am I listening and willing to obey? The final recorded words of Jesus to his followers and to each of us today is go into all the world and preach. That means or share or tell the good news with everyone, everywhere. And nothing has changed. And today, Jesus still longs for people to find him, to know him, and to tell others about him. Right now, while we're preparing the turkey and things, Emma Cottrell is out in Israel just doing what God has asked her to do in obedience and trust. Will and Danny responded to God's call to become ministers so that they can preach their socks off over the next couple of days to tell everyone who comes into this building the good news of God's rescue plan. The Kit Kat Club has made a massive difference to the lives of dozens of families over the last few years, thanks to the obedience and courage of a small group of church members, originally from one home group. And one extraordinary lady from our church family has been responsible for more people coming on Alpha courses in the last 3 years than any other, simply because she makes it her business to tell people that God can make a difference and they ought to give it a go. I believe that today God is inviting each one of us to get involved in the coming year in some way in making the good news of Jesus known to our neighbors, friends, colleagues, or even further afield. Is anyone willing to follow Mary's example and say, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the simple trust that you put into Mary and Joseph, daring to risk putting your son's life, your eternal plan for salvation into their hands. And thank you for the simple trust and obedience of Mary and Joseph responding to your challenge, your command, and being willing to do that. And thank you that we are standing today because of their obedience. And Father, I pray that you would just help us to examine our own hearts and sense whatever it is you might be saying to us today, that we might have the humility to respond in the same way as Mary. So come, Holy Spirit, and just touch our hearts and point to anything that you might be asking us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.